the house.
When they say they don't make him like they used to, I think Errol Flynn was definitely put in the thinking of that saying there. We're going to talk about Errol Flynn now, and the book's called An Epic Life. It's by Kevin McAleer. Kevin, is that right? Hi, Kevin. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Be there. Okay.
I hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes. So yeah. I'm just trying to make sure I got your name right. So I think I'm doing it with a British accent. It maybe sounds a little bit odd.
Go with it. We were once under the thumbs of the British, so go ahead.
But you're free now. You're free.
We're free. So do whatever you want. I'm happy. Whatever you want to do.
So you got a bit of Irish and Scottish heritage there, then?
That seems to be the case. Yes.
Yeah.
Northern Ireland. Prods. Yes.
And Enniskillen, you say? Yeah.
Enniskillen is what they tell me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You ever been there?
Nope.
All right.
I'm afraid. If I say the wrong thing or pronounce my name incorrectly, or someone might pronounce it incorrectly, and I might get the Irish up. Who knows?
Absolutely. I've got Irish background as well. But I know exactly what you're saying. This is great, isn't it? Because Errol Flynn, for me, when I look at a picture or watch a movie, it really does take you back to a completely different time period. And that kind of, I mean, he had it all, didn't he? He was charming. He was good looking. In fact, probably very much like ourselves. But he's but you did it as a full package.
Yeah. Well, what's also often forgotten about him is that he had a lovely speaking voice, also like ourselves. And that doesn't come across here. I live in Berlin with the Germans because they dub everything. What a shame.
Yeah.
You know, half of an actor's instrument is his voice, and his voice always gets neglected, as you yourself didn't even mention it.
Yeah.
In terms of his great qualities. But yeah, he comes from another age. He's of another generation. It's a whole other world, and that was what interested me in him initially.
Talking about his voice, and let's talk about that, because he's kind of have an Australian background. There's a British influence in there. He was in Britain for a time. Does all that go into the mix when we're talking about his voice, and maybe even more than his voice, his character in general?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, get a start with the Australian part. Again, yeah. Born in Tasmania. He was through and through Australian. He went to a lot of private schools. His father was a marine biologist at the University of Hobart in Tasmania. Later went to Queen's University, Belfast. And Flynn went with him about 10, 11, 12. He went to school in England then. His father in Ireland, or rather Northern Ireland, but Flynn in England. I forget where he was exactly. But anyway, picked up a little English accent there. And then, of course, he goes on to America, Hollywood, in his early 20s and, you know, gets a little bit Americanized. And so you have this very strange sort of voice. It's incomparable. It's like no other.
Did the English accent pay off a little bit there? Because I say that as an English person, of course. When you go to America, people are fascinated about your accent. You know, the likes of Cary Grant later on and others, and even people like Bing Crosby use this kind of transatlantic accent, and Grace Kelly and others. Was that part of it as well? You know, there's a kind of brought a bit of a class and maybe a distinguished sound.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, definitely. And he had this very sort of high-flown, almost aristocratic style in his own demeanor, the accent apart. But that certainly helped. But he had the reputation, well, not so much reputation, but it was thought that he was Irish. Among his fandom back then, they had no idea he was from Australia. I think Warner Brothers, the studio that he worked for all his professional life when he was under contract to a studio in Hollywood, they sort of promulgated that myth, because the Irish angle was also that was a plus as well. So you have this kind of strange little transatlantic British, I don't know, kind of Irish lilt accent. And he is actually Irish, and the name would speak to that, wouldn't it? Yeah, Errol Flynn. Yeah. You don't get much more Irish than Flynn.
Exactly. Where does his big break come? I know he was doing, he was acting in the UK, in England and other places. And then Hollywood comes, well, does Hollywood come calling? How does that work?
Well, he was working as a stage actor in a small town north of London. And in the 30s, the big Hollywood studios, they had outlets, as it were, in England, because there was a law that had been passed, the cinematograph law or something like that, about 1930, 32, something like that, where it was prohibiting the influx of Hollywood films. They wanted to promote British film. And so the Hollywood studios said, okay, good, we'll become British filmmakers. They transferred their their studios to London. And Warner Brothers had a studio there. And Flynn, that was his ultimate ambition. He wanted to become a screen actor. And so he went down there and knocked on the door of Warner Brothers London. And they gave him a screen test, did a role or two, small role or two, and then the powers that be got together and said, hey, let's send this boy over to Hollywood where he can really make some money for us.
Does he, from movies, and again, this is going on memory because I love watching those movies, but it's been a long time now. Does he play a similar character in a lot of the films? Would that be fair to say?
Certainly, and I thought we could get through this interview without me saying the word swashbuckler, but
I wasn't going to say that. Go on.
But that's what people, that's what they bring to mind when they think of him. And of course, those were his great roles. Those are the ones that stick in memory. And so, yeah, he played pirates. He played World War One aces. He played cavalry officers. He played, of course, Robin Hood, his most famous role, perhaps. Yeah. And that is how he has made his mark in film history.
Does that do him a disservice then when people remember that part rather than the other parts of, the acting ability and so on?
Yes and no. I mean, those were his great roles. I mean, there's no question about it. When he kind of tried to branch off into other, like, modern roles, he played a 20th century character in a business suit or something. It worked. He had that charm and the looks and everything that you need to get a role across. It didn't have that extra little something, something that Tom Cruise or Russell Crowe couldn't play, right?
Exactly,
Mr. Crowe has tried to play Robin Hood, but
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that as well. And I'm from Derby, which is right near Robin Hood County near Nottingham in England. I'm very particular about my Robin Hoods.
but I will add this, Dave, that he did rebel against that whole notion. He did. He was a good, very good actor and a great actor in these swashbuckler roles, but he did want to expand his repertoire. But of course, the studio system, Jack Warner of Warner Brothers, they wouldn't let him. He was a big cash cow for the swashbuckling role, so they basically kept him in that. And I must say, even all these years later, dear Errol, you were at your very best in those swashbuckling roles. I think he actually recognized that himself at the end of his life.
I remember we were talking about Sinatra on the biography about Frank Sinatra and how he kind of played similar characters in a lot of films. And really, again, it was the easy money in some respects. You put Frank Sinatra's name on the title and people are going to go and watch it. And of course, he goes and wins an Oscar for From Here to Eternity. And he shows that, he's able to act. And again, sometimes it's easy to fall into that trap, isn't it, of when's the next swashbuckling film coming up that I'm going to be in, and and it will pay the rent.
Right. I mean, he recognized that, but after a few 5-6 years of that, I can understand, you get a little bit sick of it. And Flynn was a very intelligent man. I mean, he wrote 3 books. He wrote countless articles. He was, again, the son of a university professor. He was no dumb bunny. And, after a while, you start to chafe at that. And so I can understand, but it doesn't, there's one film that he did. Oh, my goodness. What's the name of it? I have a whole list of his films here, so I won't forget anything. It was called, That Forsyte Woman, right?
Yeah.
And he wanted to play a serious role. Soames Forsyte. I don't know if you know the movie or the book, so Forsyte Saga. But anyway, I mean, it's not Flynn. I mean, it's not the guy you pay money to see, And that is sad. And it's particularly tragic in his case, because I think it was one of the things that drove him to drink. I mean, if you want to talk about that at this point, I mean,
I was going to mention, of course, for people that we're not going to give too many spoilers away here, although a lot of people know about his life already, but to get the book's going to be available on our website, tre.radio. It's called An Epic Life. Do click on our bookshop banner there. You can order yourself a copy here in Spain. Again, another life and career that's wrecked. Same old story, isn't it, in many ways?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there are other factors, of course, that went into his self-destruction. I mean, there was a rape trial that he underwent in 1943. That's where we get the phrase, in like Flynn. I don't know if you have that over in England, but it means, you know, you kind of, hey, I'm there. I'm solid with the bay here. Whatever it is, you got a job cinched or something. You know, I'm in like Flynn. Because, you know, he had committed the double rape. There's no question about it in my mind, or most Flynn experts' minds. But he got off.
Yeah.
He got off. Pardon the pun. And he paid. He paid. It stayed with him. It wounded him. And from that point on, mid 43 or so, he really started to hit it hard. I mean, cocaine, heroin, even the drinking, of course, a bottle a day, man. Vodka was his drink of choice. And another thing that went into that self-abuse was the fact that he wasn't in the war. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in the prime of his life, the perfect specimen. He even made a film called The Perfect Specimen. And this guy is not in uniform. What's going on here? Right. I mean, a lot of other Hollywood stars did, tote a rifle. David Niven, good friend among them.
Exactly. Went,
and but Flynn didn't. Why not? Well, Flynn tried to get into the service. He did try. He tried with a couple services, a couple branches, but they wouldn't let him in because he was actually not a well man. He had a heart murmur. He had malaria, which he had picked up during his wandering years in New Guinea. That's another part of his life that most people don't know about. He spent about 4 or 5 years in New Guinea, wow, being an adventurer, which helped him to play these adventure roles later on. He also had spots on his lung of tuberculosis. He was not a well man. So, and he died at 50. So, you know, there you go. But that also ate at him. That ate at him. So he became this, human phallus symbol on the one hand. On the other hand, you know, he's not in the war. Yeah. So is he a coward? Is he yellow? You know, a lot of problems going on here. And
It's interesting. Sorry, cutting across you there, Kevin. Yeah. We're looking now, of course, with what's going on in the world at the moment, with statues being pulled down in England because of slave trade and so on. And a lot of these people, one in particular, founded the Scout movement, Boy Scout movement, but also had other interesting parts of his life which are controversial today. And the fact is this, when we look back on people like Errol Flynn, and we even did this with Churchill this week as well, in another book, you see the good, the bad, and the ugly, don't you? You see some of the things that they were great at, the things that you admire in that person. And then you hear other stuff, like we've mentioned here with Errol. And does that diminish the character for you? Do you still admire the work? Are you still able to admire the work of the person and not always agree with the person?
Oh, of course. Yeah. There's no one in my life that I haven't had that feeling about. Yeah. I mean, I'm always ambivalent about everyone and everything. I mean, maybe that's just my character. Yeah. And that's maybe why I was attracted to Flynn. He's a very complex character. I mean, if we just want to mention it, he was also a slave trader in New Guinea. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. There, it's out. He was a blackbirder, as they called them. He wasn't actually a slave trader in the truest sense, but he would go out into the bush and he would try and get native boys. He would make deals with the tribal chieftains, and he would get native boys to go back with him, and most of them would be shipped off to Queensland sugar plantations in Australia, or they would work copra plantations in the outer islands of New Guinea or something like that. But he did that, right? Okay. And you might find that objectionable. Okay. From today's standpoint, not cool. But, you know, from the standpoint of the chieftain and the boys, they were getting a good deal. They were getting out of the jungle. They were getting a job. It was like indentured servitude or something like that. I'm not clear on the details. And but even if you don't like it, okay. There's a certain there's a complexity that is added to the character which is not uninteresting.
Yeah.
You have to admit.
And history can be uncomfortable sometimes for the modern era.
Certainly.
But does that mean that we write it out and say, you know, Errol Flynn movies, we don't watch them anymore? It's just, that's, you know, because that is basically the argument, isn't it? But for me, when I hear a character like that, I think of myself, I think, yeah, you know what, there's flaws in my character, I know that much.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I identify with Flynn on several levels. Just think of the cliche Irish stereotype. Yeah. I mean, there's a couple things there that I won't go into. But yeah, of course. I actually identify with him because of my own flaws.
Yeah.
And then he, of course, is this beautiful and talented personification of chivalry and swashbuckling heroism on the screen. Okay, if you don't like the fact that he was a slave trader or whatever in New Guinea, or you don't like this or that, or he was a rapist, okay, I'm with you. I hear you. But you want to deprive yourself of seeing him in Robin Hood? Go ahead. Do it.
That's a great,
let's get off my nose.
That's a great place to conclude, because it's again, it's what will live on is the movies, of course, the talent, and right. Nobody's making any excuses for some of the things which were done in those days. Again, but you know, it would not be acceptable today. Get the book. It's all about him. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's his flaws. It's his great parts. And I just hope nobody writes a book about me. Don't write a book about me.
apropos, Dave, one last thing. Yeah. I just came out with another book last week. It's called Berlin Tango. Okay.
Yes, Yes.
It's about the tango scene in Berlin. It came out last week here in Europe, and next week it's coming out in America. So I hope all your listeners will go out and give it a look.
And now, I tell you, let's try and get you back on to talk about that. I'll mention that to my producer as well. Because I'm interested in that, because I once visited the home of tango in Argentina, where it all kind of, well, maybe you'll disagree with me or read the book. But I mean, that's an interesting one, because I've never even thought about Germany or Berlin and tango. So
it's the biggest tango scene in Europe.
Yeah.
Helsinki notwithstanding. And I'd love to come back on with you, Dave, and talk about it.
Lovely.
So, thanks.
Thank you for your time anyway, Kevin. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Take care.
Excellent.
And stay safe. Right. Okay. Yeah, the book's available. There we are. Fantastic. What an interesting interview. What an interesting person. Also Errol Flynn, interesting person as well. Thanks, Kevin, for that. We'll definitely try and get you back on. Paul Simon now taking us up to the business news here on TRE. Thank you, Kevin.